Blog Talk Radio.
Tupac, please. He's going to tell black people what to do.
He recites some history.
Please, all these gangster rappers telling black people with college educations what to do. That doesn't strike you as odd?
Okay, so you're saying that lower class blacks have the upper and middle class in check.
You know it. You'd get called Uncle Tom in a second if you went against the kind of agenda they set. Right? I mean, I'm not saying be white, but this tough guy stuff is not exactly your Stanley Kaplan formula for success. Imagine if white people were dictated to by white trash. We'd all live in trailer parks and West Virginia would be the most populous state.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man, what is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
If abracadabra, a la baby professor, all hail funk and lesson, sweet tongue grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a lock.
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Diva, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Good evening, folks. It's the midweek, and you know what that means. Hump Day Midweek and Review Edition, folks. This is your host, D-Bert, a.k.a. the Afronerd, and welcome to yet another fascinating, fiery, funky edition of Afronerd featuring Captain Kirk. The call-in number, once again, 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. Folks, we have a lot to get into. We might as well call this, maybe I should do an addendum. We should call this show a cleanup show. What do I mean by a cleanup show? There's just so many topics. It's amazing that I come across so much media where they seem not to have enough topics. The topics are very often boring, not very informative. And the captain and myself, we have so many topics that our cup runneth over. Too many topics, and many times you just don't have enough time with each broadcast to address everything. So I'm going to try to backtrack, and let's just really unpack some of the stuff that we failed to get to from the last couple of shows. Having said that, let's go to a quick groove. You know, I wanted to be on top of something. As folks know, I'm a big Prince supporter. I'm reticent about using the term fan, because fan is short for fanatic, but I am a supporter. And he did a remix with Janelle Monáe and Erykah Badu for their latest single called Queen, the acronym Q-U-E-E-N. His Royal Badness, as you know, was somewhat of an eccentric, and I can appreciate that. And that thing was up and then removed with the swiftness. So I wanted to play that, could not get it, could not find it anywhere. He is quick, man. Anyway, I'm going to give you another remix by the great and beauteous Janelle Monáe. This is the tightrope remix by Oliver Nelson. So, let's groove. We'll get to a Prince remix when and if it ever comes back on the internet. Again, let's get to it. Tightrope.
About you when you get to take out just and when you spit on the scene, yeah, they talking about it because they can't.
around it. I try no way around it. This ain't no prophetic. You either follow or you lead. Yeah, I'm talking about you. I'll keep on living the machine. And I'm talking about it. I can't complain about it. I gotta keep my balance and just keep dancing on it. We getting funky on the scene and you know about it. Like a star on the screen, watch me fall in.
Never let it be said that I do not play the best in urban alternative groove, folks. A game that was the tightrope remix by the grandiose Janelle Monae. Folks, listen, the captain will be brought in a moment. I suspect he was listening to that groove in the overhead headset in the Enterprise spaceship. So let me bring him on in. Captain, you're needed on the bridge. Let's get to it.
That was a great groove, by the way. Cut the intro a little short, but it was a great groove. Great groove.
I had to let it go, man. On occasion, you know, I'll cut things short. I'll bring out the phaser, but on that one, it's just a nice, slow summer groove.
Okay. So let me just get into this briefly, Sir Afro Nerd. There's a lot of talk about presidential impeachment, a lot of talk, underlying talk in some of these TV hosts, radio personalities, some of these people that write these internet articles. But here's the thing. First, what is impeachment anyway? Impeachment is a formal document charging a public official with misconduct in office. Impeachment is a formal document charging a public official with misconduct in office. Now, here's the reality. Unbeknownst to a lot of people, there actually has been two presidents that have been impeached. But there's a catch. Let me finish. Andrew Johnson, your 17th president, impeached. Your 42nd president, some people say the first black president, Bill Clinton, was impeached. But they were acquitted at their trials held by the Senate. So the point being, with all of these presidents that we've had, it's not that easy, really, really, to get a president ousted. Forget about it. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. All right? Just food for thought. Next on the menu here, I want to talk about the Chinese people. Now, in China, they say there's over 292 living languages. That's a lot of languages. 292 living languages. But the main ones we hear here in the States are Mandarin, Cantonese, and something known as FJ, Fukanese, speak it. Sometimes people come from China and they speak all three of these. Sounds the same to us as an outsider, but they're actually different. Now, in the Cantonese Chinese language, they use a word that's similar to the black derogatory term, nigger. But they say nigger, nigger, nigger. Now, you as an outsider hear this, you would think they're calling you or they're using the term rather loosely. It means this, this, this. Nigger, 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 Cantonese. Now, the younger generation, which is known a lot of times as ABC, which means American-born Chinese, or CBA, Chinese-born American, they use the nigger term relentlessly, relentlessly between each other. I heard a girl the other day, she goes in, she was talking to another girl, she was saying, this nigger is thirsty. Other words, he was trying to catch a rat with her, and he was in her face and everything else. So the word is running loose. So it's like a nuclear weapon being set off on a regular basis. So for all of those individuals that want to eradicate the word and everything else and don't want certain groups saying it, good luck. More about this later in the show. We're going to go in with a few topics, with a few things probably with this show today. Remember now, call-in number 646-915-9620. Call-in number 646-915-9620. That was just food for thought. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Thank you, sir. Listen, folks, I want to get into a quick rant. A rant about nothing, but it's something to me to give you an insight into my own personal madness. I think it gives the captain some humor because he likes when I rant this way. But it is something that does bother me. I was looking up the term, the adage, cleanliness is next to godliness. Some attribute it to the Hebrews. Some attribute it to, British folklore dating back to the 1800s. It's speculative as to where this comes from. There is something that you have to really pay attention to what this what it's really saying here, Captain. Cleanliness is next to godliness. So this is going to be. I'm going to try to make this brief, but it's kind of a connective tissue argument, Captain. So you're going to have to bear with me. And again, to some, this may be just my personal madness, and you're welcome to deconstruct it. I'd like to hear some folks deconstruct what I'm saying. My own personal madness. Sometimes the things that I do behind the scenes regarding my own personal hygiene, my own personal regimen, which I've been doing really since I was in grade school. I've been going way back. I wore cologne as a child where, you know, I had to think about that. I've worn cologne. The Oracle has had me into this thing. Actually, it's worse now than it was then. But I was always into this, wearing cologne, even as a, let's say, 10 years old, 9 years old, I wore cologne. It's part of my regimen when you wash up in the morning to go to school. And the cleanliness next to godliness thing, I started to wonder, why do I find myself feeling somewhat superior to other folk based on my personal hygiene regimen. When you're in the corporate center, where you may be doing business, working with colleagues that are CEOs, CFOs, high management, that kind of thing, and you're going into the restroom, frankly, these folks are lighting up the joint, Captain, with reckless disregard. Our inner sanctum knows what I do. I have a bag that I take with me, a personal bag. And this bag has all kinds of stuff in it, almost like Batman's utility belt. Stuff that I take with me because I believe in being comfortable. It's something that I don't, you know, when you're away from home, when you're at your house, obviously, you can go to the shower, you can get a rag, you can brush your teeth. I mean, when you're at home, you can access certain things, Captain, to address, you know, whatever going on, if you're sweating profusely or whatever. I said to myself, there's got to be a way I can bring some of my accoutrements with me when I'm on the road. And I would suggest for those who understand where I'm coming from, because I've encountered other folks. I encountered an Afro nerd at the comic shop who was hearing me rant like this, and he was taking notes because he was getting it. The whole godliness, Galactus argument, Captain. I've encountered young women, young men. Their breath stinks. Your breath probably stinks. Folks, not our listenership. Hopefully not. But this whole, everything is interconnected, interwoven, Captain. This whole thing of hypervigilance. If you're going to be around people, you should be self-conscious enough to know that your breath stinks, or that you have body odor, or you have. That you have some degree of funkiness. And I'm always shocked. Well, let me rephrase that. I'm not shocked, but I'm frustrated and disappointed when I come across folks who stink. And people, and this is across tiers. This is across tiers. And people look at me, I suspect, like I'm a nut when I go in with my personal accoutrement bag. This bag, let's break down what this bag has, Captain. This bag has a personal spray. Well, actually not a personal spray. It's actually a spray for the outside if you're doing business. So I have an Osium, I would suggest, for the listening audience. I have a spray. I have my toothbrush. I have a collapsible cup. I have mouthwash, wet wipes, yes, wet wipes. What else? A whole bunch of crap, basically. And I have to admit, I do feel superior to folks who are just letting it off, Captain. I've been around folks, again, folks that own companies, power brokers. You walk in on them. They stink up the joint, and you have to pretend like this smells like a bakery. No. And I'm trying to figure out what's going on with these people. Why don't you know your breath stinks? And the irony is that when these people are usually great conversationalists. I've been in the company of people who you want, like, wow, this person really has a great conversation, but their breath smells like, oh, they be damned. Smells like, oh, dear. Not odor. Oh, dear. I have to highlight that from the late Richard Pryor. Not older, oh, dear. So join me in my madness. Get yourself, what do I call it? A bag of justice. I have my own bag of justice that I take with me because if you're on the road, especially if you're in a company of a young woman and you want to be on point, you need to have something with you. You need to have, and like if you have to move your bowels, as it were, not to be grotesque, you should be cleaning yourself appropriately. I've seen all kinds of madness in areas that you wouldn't expect them to be, Captain. Madness. People are walking around with dry mud butt and swamp ass. This has to stop. This has to stop. Carry your own personal bag of justice like I do. Watch your breath. Brush your teeth. After you eat a meal at lunch is what I do. After I have lunch in the middle of the day, I brush my teeth. I rinse it out. I floss it out. You feel superior. You do. Because I know the average person is not going through this madness like I'm going through, but I feel better. I feel comfortable being on point with my cleanliness in the middle of the day. But I'm always somewhat frustrated in seeing how other people nonchalantly dry butt swamp ass syndrome and smelly teeth syndrome, smelly breath, any time of the day. And you can't go around all day, Captain. You can't go around all day without addressing your breath. That's it. I'm just giving you, everything is educational, perhaps humorous. I had to get that out. That's my own personal regimen, bag of justice. Get you one. If you're in corporate centers, if you're attorneys, your business people, you're around prospective clients, you're around customers, beautiful young women, whatever floats your boat, whatever your reasoning, you need to have hypervigilance to be aware that your breath probably stinks after drinking coffee and smoking cigarettes, which I do not. I don't do either of those things. But having a pack of gum is not good enough. You have to rinse your mouth, floss your mouth, handle your affairs. Handle your personal hygienic affairs. That's it, Captain. That's it. It's my own personal madness. Maybe I go a little extra with it, with the wet wipes and stuff. I think Will Smith does that. Some of the folks I hear, they're doing this. There's some of the folks that are doing this. Cleanliness is next to godliness. That's it. Captain, your thoughts?
Well, I'm not going to weigh in on that. You said a mouthful. Everything is there, you know. Cross your dotted your I's, cross your T's. There's nothing more to weigh in on that. Let's keep it moving.
I come across these folks, and they're listening. I come across these folks that go on for hours during the day. They're never addressing their mouth. Why do you think that goes on? Like it's, my breath could not possibly stink, even though I haven't touched a toothbrush in like 7 hours.
They get used to their own smell.
All right. I try. I don't get it. I don't get it. I'm just saying. All right, Captain. Enough of my tomfoolery and madness, although I'm very serious. The call-in number once again, 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. This is the Midweek in Review edition of Afternet Radio. And a bit more indulgence, Captain, on this N-word controversy, not necessarily a controversy, but a controversy with the infamous Paula Deen now. I'm seeing that Anne Rice, noted author, Interview with a Vampire, was made into a film going back, I guess, now 15 years. Kirsten Dunst, who was in Spider-Man. She was like a little girl on that. So she's a grown woman. So anyway, Anne Rice, author of Notes, she's weighing in now on this, Captain. And essentially she's saying that, well, this is an older, obese, southern woman, and we need to give her some sympathy, that it's a witch hunt. We're going a bit too far in, I guess she's likening it to a lynch mob mentality. And for some reason, I'm just not getting this. Now we're seeing folks coming in support that feel that this is just not a big deal, or they're trying to position it as not being a big deal. I think it's a big deal. I think it almost goes back to my cleanliness. You see how you seem to connect, Captain? It almost goes back to my cleanliness argument, that when you're doing business, you have to be better than this. You have corporate sponsors. You're making millions of dollars. There's no room for these kind of attitudes, or if anything, keep them to yourself. But because she was given an opportunity, because she's a glorified cook, she's rough around the edges, and this is what happens when you let rough around the edges folk in the door. Doesn't this show you just how similar this is also on the flip side when you let Rick Ross in the door? When you let him in the door, it ends up slapping you on the behind. He's tweeting from Africa talking about something about this country of Africa. This country of Africa. Now the Twitterverse is on his behind, and rightfully so. You know, you're insulting women. We're assuming by connection black women in his last song. And you don't realize that this is a continent, not a country. So people are starting to wake up and pull people's cards. Lil Wayne, I've mentioned many times, and these are not the only rappers that are assaulting our intelligence and disrespecting us. And they're losing. If someone brings it to the corporate sponsor's attention, they're losing money. It's just not profitable, as I said in the last show, but I'm having a difficult time understanding how these folks are literally somewhat trying to make her into a victim. And that just cannot be. Lil Wayne isn't a victim. Rick Ross isn't a victim. And certainly not Paula Deen is not a victim. You know, since when have we heard? Did you tell me this? Or someone, I know this is true. Maybe I heard it somewhere else. About some young woman. Well, first of all, I did hear that there are lines, literally lines of customers around the block showing their support for Paula Deen by patronizing her restaurants. So that's going on. And I heard that there was a black woman in one of the lines, and I guess this was, you know, this is a media event to see this, and a reporter asked her, like, why are you here? Why are you here in support of Paula Deen? And she was kind of going on to the same thing. Hey, you shouldn't really mean it, and, you know, she comes from a certain period, and she's older, and da-da-da-da. I'm here to support, you know. I'm really surprised people are comfortable in going into the minds of folks to determine that these people really don't mean what they say. What are your thoughts on that? And I'm gonna take it one step further. Once you tell me your thoughts, something else that came to my attention that makes this issue even more problematic, and then we'll leave it alone.
Well, you have a couple of things going on in this present state in 2013. You have a combination of letting people in who are extremely rough around the edges. That's one. But also, it's a sign of the times. Also, we've seen people who are highly polished from the journalistic standpoint lose their jobs just saying pretty much things that they were saying in their backyard, light things, very light things. So the witch hunt is correct, so to speak, because everyone is witch hunted at this given time. That's what it is. If this was 1983, you wouldn't even be hearing about this. You wouldn't even be hearing about this if this is 1983. Maybe even as far as 1993, you would not be hearing about it. So I think it's a combination of the two at this given time. People are rough around the edges. This is very much so. And also, it is a witch hunt. You understand? I don't like the terminology that the person used for referring to the lynch mob, because we were the ones that are actually lynched. You understand? Not too long ago. You can look that up if you don't know the timeline pertaining to that. But I think the Afro Nerd listener definitely does know the timeline referring to that. And I'm also not comfortable with people going into the mind of these individuals and knowing what's going on. Oh, really? You're a mind reader? Really? Really? Oh, okay. All right. If we had mind readers, there's no reason to have trials and anything else. We know exactly what happened. We know the intent of the individual. So these individuals just need to stop it. They just need to stop it. That's all. Back over to you, Sir Raffle Nerd.
Yeah, we've got to stop giving passes on aberrant behavior or ignorant behavior. Since when do we give a pass for racists? Man, I've never seen that before. I mean, even that within itself goes against logic. I mean, I don't give passes on ghetto-centric, lower-tier behavior. I'm not giving passes on that. There's this really disturbing case, Captain. I think you – I knew about this, but you also sent this to me, my attention as well. And I don't always want to go into these discussions because they're just overwhelming, and we like to keep our show pretty positive. But for those who may not be aware, there is a nanny cam footage out of Millburn, New Jersey, of a home invasion. I guess you could say, thankfully, this woman wasn't killed, and it appears that she wasn't raped. But she was beaten up several times by a man of color that just burst into her home, just burst in. She has a child on the second floor, I believe, a child on the upper floor. And this man is an animal. He just unprovoked goes into her home, beats her up a couple of times. Thankfully, I believe that her child was unharmed. I believe this man is still on the run. This doesn't help matters any better, Captain. I mean, if you're going to espouse tribalism, you know, we're seeing. Listen, I can go to so many people, irrespective of race, that are bugging out. But the numbers are not favorable toward people of color. They're just not. Another woman, I believe, that was a man. But another case yesterday, Captain, is a woman, 22, 23 years old, that had to be forcibly removed from an airplane flight. She didn't care. She said this vocally. She didn't care about the other passengers. She could not get off this cell phone. She had a child in tow, a two-year-old child in tow, just complete, this rabidly ignorant. Rabidly ignorant. And the reason why I mention these two cases along with the Paula Deegan thing is because there should never be tolerance for ignorance. I'm sorry. This woman ran an establishment. I mean, people are not unpacking these issues appropriately. She ran an establishment. It goes beyond her using an N-word on an occasion because she's not really being honest about how frequently – you know, this was part of her lexicon. This was part of her makeup. But the fact that she ran a business and that the atmosphere allegedly fostered this kind of aesthetic. The atmosphere fostered this kind of language as normalcy. Again, you're conducting business. Act professionally. I don't care if you don't like me, but you have to respect me in the corporate space. And no one's looking at it from that perspective. And this goes for so many other facets of our society where we just seem to be losing it. We're letting everyone have passes. People are having tantrums. We're giving excuses for stuff. Folks know this is not the place for excuses. It's just not. At Afro Radio, those days are over. You're going to come here. You better be prepared. It's not a politically correct show. It's about being honest about what needs to be done to elicit correction. Now, I'm going to play one more thing. We have a caller coming up, so I'm going to go to the lines. But this is something that actually occurred 2 years ago with very little fanfare because this young woman is not of the status of Paula Deegan. But it reminded me of the quagmire, Cat. The quagmire that black folk are in when it comes to this N-word. See, I'm above this N-word. Maybe because I'm too clean, Captain, obviously. The godliness thing. I can't – it's like Galactus swatting off flies. I don't understand what's around me. I can half acknowledge this stuff because I'm above it. I'm above it. I just wish – I want other people to feel like I feel. This has to stop. You have to – I don't want to be connected to this stuff. I'm pretty sure our listenership doesn't want to be connected to this ignorance. But we are in a quagmire. I want folks to be honest, at least. We are in a quagmire. Young woman, half a rapper. Most of these rappers are half a rapper, as far as in my estimation. V-Nasty. I believe she's a cousin or she's somewhat related. Maybe she's even a sister to Krayshawn. Krayshawn came and went because she was a horrible rapper. Not that it should really stop her, because it really isn't, you know, the rap scene is horrible as it is. But she was even worse than horrible, if there's such a thing. Krayshawn, that is. But Be Nasty is no better. And she was not Krayshawn, but Be Nasty, a couple of years ago, because we discussed it, I still have the clip, which I'm going to play. Be Nasty, young white woman from the Bay Area, West Coast, as she puts it, very much from the hood, as, again, I'm not comfortable with the term hood, but that's what she says she's from, black friends, black compatriots in tow, who are very comfortable with her using the quote-unquote nigga epithet, and she's very in your face about it. This is who I am. I'm not going to be phony. And this caused a little bit of noise, Captain. It caused a little bit of noise, but I say, what is the difference between Be Nasty and Paula Deen? See, these things, quagmires, just complete confusion, ambiguity. We're losing the argument on this. I'm Galactus, Captain. I'm Galactus. I cannot be bothered with these lower tier Negro shenanigans, because the quagmire is so overwhelming. There's no explanation. We have no grounds to stand on. None. Folks, listen to Be Nasty plead her case as to why she's down, if there's such a thing. Be Nasty, West Coast rapper. Hold on.
Oh, some real nigga shit, though? Yeah, I really feel about these motherfuckers talking about why is Be Nasty white, and she said N-word. Y'all motherfuckers ain't never walked in my shoes, bro. Y'all ain't never seen where I came from. Go to Oakland and see how shit be, bro. That shit be hella fake. Motherfuckers always asking Krayshawn, oh, why you guys say nigga? Is it a fucking race? Am I offending people? Am I saying in a disrespectful type of way? You feel me, though? Y'all mad at that. Y'all need to be mad at this album about to drop on y'all ass, man. You fucking haters. What the fuck? I'm just doing me. Don't be mad at me, because I'm doing me. Don't be trying to change up my vocabulary, because I'm on and I got out the hood. Feel me? I'm looking at comments, motherfuckers, talking about why she trying to act black and woo-woo. And she trying to do this and that because she's trying to act black. How can you act a race? Is Obama trying to act white? Just please, just tell me, like, what is y'all talking about? Like, y'all ain't making no points to me. You feel me? Like, I don't understand, because that's not how it is where I came up. You feel me? So y'all motherfuckers need to stop that hating ass shit. Start, you feel me, looking into Be Nasty, because I'm the realest out right now. You feel me? And we really putting on for this white girl mind shit. And these motherfuckers just is not ready, though. And y'all fucking mad. And I'm fucking y'all minds up. Watch when I drop my album. Watch when I drop that. Do I know you? Because you hating on me, I don't even know you. So you're a nobody. Hello, duh.
What you know about that white girl,
man?
Got him hate.
Oh.
She had one hot line in there when she said about Obama. One hot line. That was hot.
Well, she had a couple of things. She said, how are you going to change my vocabulary, I think she said. You're going to tell me to change my language, my vocabulary. Captain, this
it's
is a quagmire.
And that's it. And I'll leave it at that.
I'm not going to go any deeper than that, but
yep.
I've been pleading the case on this for so many years now. When I talk this way, when Dr. Cosby comes out, folks will tell you he's a senile old man when he's sharp as a tack. We didn't even talk about the case. We're gonna go to the phones and then go to a groove. We didn't even talk about the case of this video that's been circulating on YouTube, Captain, of, I don't think we mentioned it, of young boys, black boys. They have to be maybe 12 or 13, about four or five of them, wannabe rappers, and they're rapping suggestive homosexual lyrics talking about oral sex. very, very in your face, very blunt, and very, very guttural. It's that's the dirty laundry. That is the dirty laundry that's hanging out to dry. And when you bring it up, and when you talk about it, we're told you're a sellout, you're acting white, how dare you? I've been told, Captain, you've heard this, we think you shouldn't talk this way because it could be damaging to the black community. My message, I've had people tell me, almost, I can tell, I can't get into it now, but there's been some stories behind the scenes, Captain, that my message is dangerous. I've been told dangerous to the black community. My message, our message is dangerous. As if what's going on now is lemon meringue pie. As if the messaging that's going on now is okay. But if I bring it up, if I disclose what we already know and talk about this stuff, I'm the bad guy. We're the bad guys. All right, let's go to the phones. Talk, and then we're going to go to a groove. This is craziness. Please deconstruct what I'm talking about. I'm going to have to bite Mr. Michael Carroll's words. Please deconstruct, atomize, disassemble what the captain and myself are talking about. I don't think you can. All right. 703, welcome to the Midweek and Review Show. Tell us who you are and where you're calling from. What's up?
Hey, gentlemen. This is Bison for Life, George in D.C. How's everything?
Tremendous.
Pretty good, man. Welcome.
Hey, I know I can't wait till Saturday. I went to the comic book store today, man. Some great titles came out today. Some really good
man,
titles.
Man, I can't. I couldn't even get there. I'm going to go there Friday. I know. Did you pick up Justice League with Shazam?
Yeah, and I
Gary
got
Frank Hart.
Rucker's new one, Jupiter's Legacy. I mean, a lot of good stuff came out today.
We'll get into that. We'll get into that Saturday. But I have Jupiter's Legacy too. Go ahead.
Hey, for both of you, I think this has been a very depressing week. What happened with the Supreme Court striking down a portion of the Voting Rights Act, and it kind of tied to what you're saying in regards. So I saw the videos you sent, especially with that rapper in Chicago getting beat down. The thing with the woman on the airplane, and just, and you know, we all can just go on the internet and just type in anything, and it'll just show us acting out, showing our ass. And I think it goes back, once again, before I forget, a great show with the Oracle. But we got to remember, a lot of people didn't grow up with an Oracle or a figure to say, we were checked coming up. We were told about the proper way of keeping yourself clean, how to present yourself as a man, as a woman, what's expected of you, how you should act in public, what you should do and what you should not do. But after 30 or 40 or 50 years of basically babies having babies, this is what we have to deal with. I think a lot of it has always been going on. It's just now, you know, almost everybody has a smartphone and a lot of it's captured. I mean, I've seen people acting stupid in 1974, 1984. I mean, I don't think this is new. I just think it's just put out there for public consumption. I mean, you guys are from New York, and you remember how New York was in the mid-70s with all of, when heroin and all that was really running wild. You know, you saw some crazy things on the subway on a daily basis. So people acting stupid is nothing new. I just think now it just has a more public arena via the internet and YouTube of it being shown.
Well, you know what, though, George? I think you're right about that. I often contemplate what is the difference numerically. Like, is it really worse? Because we're led to believe that crime is down, crime stats are down. We're certainly not seeing the level of drug business the way that we saw it in the 80s and early 90s with the kitted Jettas and the over-the-top Mercedes-Benz with the gold embroidered insignias and that kind of thing. We're not seeing it that way anymore, but I think what has happened, because we deal with pop culture here as well on AfroNerd, is that some of this stuff is being filtered through technology and through pop culture. So I think when you're dealing with that, it makes it it really makes the problem more perverse, more severe, because now what once was an incident is now it's now a pop cultural event. This woman who has an episode on a plane, that makes the news. I mean, I don't know if that would – should that really make the news?
Deber, I think if you notice, news programs, newspapers have been downsizing, TV stations and journalists have gotten lazy. The few that still remain, if you look at a news broadcast, half of it is stuff you read off the internet a day before, 2 days before. So instead of going out and finding out what's going on in the community, hey, let's go on the internet, let's put up this crazy video on and kill 3 or 4 or 5 minutes of airtime. So I think you got to throw in some lazy journalism to account for some of this. That's just my opinion on that.
Well, and also back to the technology argument, the reality is that Twitter and World Star Hip Hop, to my chagrin, I'm no fan of that outfit. They are, on some instances, upstaging conventional media, because I'm hearing news reports, and I'm pretty sure you have too. They will have to refer to them having gotten the footage from YouTube or from World Star Hip Hop or from from Twitterverse. So the whole game has changed.
I think when Michael Jackson died, TMZ confirmed it before anybody else.
That's true.
And I think that sort led to sort of almost, of giving them credence or more of a pop culture. I mean, I've noticed now you have internet shows. Like, I don't know if you watch, there's a channel called Fuse TV.
Yes.
And they have a show called Trending. Well, it's just all about social media, what artists, had the most hits on Twitter today or something like that. So it's creating its own industry now, and I think the sad part is black people or lower tier behavior is big entertainment, and no one is stepping up at the station saying, hey, let's put a stop to this. I've had friends who worked in the media in the Washington, D.C. area, CNN and BET, and the stories I've heard is all, when you try to put a stop to that, they move you out, because acting a fool boosts ratings.
Well, acting a fool for black people. I mean, listen, to be fair, other ethnicities have their things going on too, but it really seems to be the lack of balance makes it far more deleterious toward us. That lack of balance, because from what I see, and this is what we preach here all the time. Not that I use the term preach, but I think we're really on this particular thing, is that it truly is an industry. Just like steel and oil are industries, there is a minstrel industry now. And I can tell from your voice, I'm disturbed that no one is calling it for what it is, that nobody is concerned that this appears to be a singular image of just really just crass, ghetto-centric behavior that's being promoted, that's making people wealthy, that is a business. When you start to actually tabulate what is put out there, when you go into the court shows, because the courts, we act fools, we're acting fools to be tribal, we're acting fools on court shows, we're acting fools on talk shows, because the talk shows, they're even doing paternity tests. Matter of fact, I didn't mention this either. There's so many things I don't really want to mention. The New York Post, because I heard it again somewhere else. The New York Post had some piece on a gentleman that has made a business out of determining DNA in a rolling van, and he goes to neighborhoods. And if you need to know if you're related to someone, related to your brother, to a prospective brother, mother, father, cousin, whatever, he can do that. And when I saw this article, they highlighted about – it was like a center page piece, a centerfold thing. It was nothing but black people. It was nothing George was nothing but black folks in the center page with a DNA truck. Something is wrong.
Well, you know what the first reality show was Cops. It's been on for, what, 2020?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you know who was the guest star of that. At the end of the day, if you compare the media images of now and, say, 80, 90 years ago with the step and fetches and whatever, nothing has changed.
Seamless.
And
Seamless.
And I think a relook at the movie Bamboozle, it will be eye-opening because, you know, we laughed at it in 2000 or 1999, whenever it came out. But a lot of those images have come true. I'm waiting. I think within 2 years we will see a rapper in full court black face, white makeup in a video soon. Right, that's coming.
Right. Well, the difference will we be able to detect it? That's the deal. It's so bad now. Will we even flinch at that? George, listen. I'm going to a quick groove. We have another caller. Hold on. We'll get to it. As always, as ever, continue listening. We appreciate it. All right, Cap. Let's go to a quick groove. When we get back, we're going to move on to something else. But I'm going to answer the call after the groove. There's a lot more to talk about, and only 30-something minutes remaining. Captain, we can talk about – we need a 4-hour show on terrestrial radio, don't we? Very easy to talk. All right. This is Alabama Shakes. Hold on. We'll be right back. Let's groove.
Last night. hold on. You gotta hold on.
All right, all right, all right. Cap, it doesn't get any better than that. That is a game. Alabama Shakes. They made some noise, actually. Highly successful group, new group out of Athens, Alabama, headed by or fronted by a woman of color, Brittany Howard. And they made some noise at the recent Grammy Awards. And I was really impressed with their musicianship and the fact that they weren't doing what everyone else is doing. They're not doing the Rihanna stuff. And I don't want to keep on dumping on Rihanna and that whole crew. They do what they know. They do what they know. They're doing what they're allowed to do. But I think it's important to expand our palate, especially as folks of color, that we can't always give in to stereotypes. Whereas, you know, you're in your car, you listen to your hip hop, and that's what you're expected to listen to. I think at this time, I'm sure the captain would agree with me. You need to be a chameleon. You need to be able to speak about different subject matter. You should have a certain level of awareness. And again, we play everything here. You know, everything that would be considered urban alternative music. So shouting out Alabama Shakes. All right, getting back into the poll, the call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. I'm going to open up the lines. This is the Midweek in Review edition of our show. I do want to talk about the rapper Ludacris. What's his real name? Chris Bridges, Captain, I believe. He has a rather attractive fiance, girlfriend. I'm not even sure how you pronounce her name. Eudoxie, I think. Usually I'm a stickler for getting this stuff correct, but I really didn't bother. But her name is Eudoxie Agnan, I believe. She's gotten into some hot water because she and to be fair, she was giving as a charitable endeavor. She gave some dolls to some African girls, and they were white dolls, and the Twitterverse beat her up. She wasn't having it, trying to fight back. But you know something, Captain? Usually I don't side with Twitterverse. I'm siding with Twitterverse on this one. If you know, or if someone critiques you for your lack of awareness, everything is connected, Captain, just like Paula Deen. If someone gets on you, you need to take it. Learn from it. She didn't want to learn from it. You really can't give African girls. You can't give African-American girls, let alone African girls, white dolls. Sometimes it's not about race. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it is about imagery. And I think that she was being rather flippant about giving these dolls to African girls. All right, let's open up the line, see what you – I mean, you could talk about this or what we spoke about earlier, but I think it's a little bit problematic. All right, 312, welcome to Afro Radio. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from. What's up?
Good afternoon or good evening. This is Kim Success.
Hey, Kim.
I do like the fact that you do give your topics that you're going to talk about so we have time to look things up, because I'm not as much into the media as y'all are, which is a good thing, because I don't mind being filtered, because I don't want all that in my ear and eye gate. But to talk about Ludacris' girlfriend, she's from Gabon,
oh,
if I'm saying it right.
It makes even
so
worse.
I know, but they don't have the... They don't look at race the same way as we do, and 9 times out of 10, she may not be aware of black dolls there, because you know that may be all they give them is white dolls. So she's just giving them what they've always given them. So with her not being African American, I mean, you know, American, I can give her a pass on that. That's just
Captain?
You want to go on this? All right, you go. Then I'll say what
I'm saying. Go ahead.
All right. Now, here's the whole thing. This is why I say where black people in general, it's time for you to be a bit more sophisticated. Now, let me talk about the Jehovah Witness, not to go off on a tangent, but it's tangentially related. Years ago, what I used to do was I used to like to battle religious people. But I realized most religious people are not my intellectual, not on my intellectual level. So I don't do it anymore. But it was good practice. It was good exercise. I was building myself up via Captain America style in those days. But anyway, the Jehovah Witness would come to my house with a Watchtower pamphlet. And they would talk about, you know, God, Jesus, and everything else. That's fine. You know, that's what religion is about. And then they would say, you know, God is not concerned with color or anything like that. Jesus is not concerned with color or anything like that. I would say, really? So why on your watchtower, Jesus is white? According to the book, it says feet of bronze, hair of wool. And when you go on the cable networks, according to historians, archaeological historians, when they went and they digged up in these certain areas, they added as a caveat that if Jesus is coming from this area, he could not have been a white man. So why don't you put the real color of what Jesus is on the watchtower? You know why you wouldn't do it? Because it would not sell as much. Goodbye, Mr. Jehovah Witness. Shut the door. You don't know what you're talking about. Image is everything. It is everything. And it starts from small. It starts from very young. African people have the same issues to a certain extent that we have over here, to a certain extent. They deal with white people being supreme to us automatically. They're over us automatically due to the image issues. So it's time for black people to get a little more sophisticated and understand that image is very important. It is very important at this given juncture in time. And that's the reality of it. It does matter. You start to internalize certain things. You start to feel that you're inferior to a white person just because they are white when you start to build these images. Now, giving her a black doll and a white doll and maybe, you know, Asian doll, that would have been nice. But just go ahead and just say, here's the white doll. That shows the intellect that she has at this given juncture in time. We cannot afford to be in that situation in any way, shape, or form in 2013. We cannot. We have to stop. As of today, we have to stop that. As of right now, I'm sending out the meme. It has to stop. You have to understand what you're doing, what images mean, and how they develop memes within the person, how they change your intellect, and how you develop all these inferiority complexes due to images. Back over to you, Sir Raffle Nerd.
Yes, what you said is very crucial, Captain. I want to go into a little bit deeper, even with Ms. Agnan. Again, we're talking about, the listening audience, we're talking about Ludacris's, the rap artist and actor, who actually I like as a rapper, even though I don't like everything he's done. I mean, as far as subject, I mean, holes in every area code is a problem. But I do like his style. I think he has a talent. And actually, I think he's a talent for acting. So I will give a person their due, and I think they're deserving of it. And the only thing with Ms. Agnan is that, you know, she has been touted for the last couple of months as, you know, very beautiful. I believe she was a medical student. I can't verify that, but that's what they've been throwing it out there, that she's a medical student. And she didn't fit the archetype of the typical video vixen style girlfriend. So I thought that because of who she was or who she is being promoted to be with Ludacris, that he got a good one, very attractive, accomplished. But now I'm not hearing the medical school thing anymore. That's becoming a problem for me. But like the captain was saying, we're still talking about colonized countries in Africa. So these colonized countries are still countries that were under the heel, under the boot of European powers, not unlike here in America, not unlike in the Caribbean, not unlike South America. So you know, they are subject to the same white supremacist viewpoints that we are. The infamous doll test from Kenneth Clark from 80 years ago now, where it, you know, gave these five-year-olds a choice of which is better, a black doll or a white doll. They invariably chose the white doll. This test was redone by a young high school student. I can't recollect her name, but she did some kind of documentary on this thing. And the same result 80 years later, still choosing the white doll. So image is everything. She should. We understand that, but I'm really getting weary of giving everybody a pass. This is the internet. I mean, we've encountered Africans that are very much on point now. We can't go that well because they're in Africa. There are Africans that we're seeing are far more progressive than African Americans. I mean, heck, they're saying now. And I pray, even though I'm agnostic, I pray that what they're touting Africa to be now, they're saying Africa potentially is the new China, that it's on the come up. We spoke about the African Stock Exchange here on AfroNerd and how people may want to start making connections with their African brethren to start to get things popping, as they say, investing in African stocks. So if this is going on, we need to start handing out some black dolls to black Africans. I'm just saying. And I was more disturbed, not by what she did per se, but her reaction to it. She became very, very adamant about, it's not about color. We have, you know, it's all about charity. You know what? No one else is going out like that except for us. No one else is doing this confusion with imagery. If we see white folks being charitable, they're doing it the white way. They're keeping it consistent to their culture. We're the only ones that backtrack and do things in an oddball, reverse kind of way. And I'm just saying, okay, I understand where you're coming from, but you know what? She has to be corrected. This show right here is about correcting stuff and calling it for what it is. She should have been told, hey, you know what? Your efforts are to be applauded, but this is what you should have done. She did not take the critique well, and that's a problem. No one ever wants to be told that they're wrong, and I'm getting sick of that. If someone tells me I'm wrong, and they're able to say, hey, what A, B, C, D, AfroNerd, this is what you're not looking at right, I'm going to have to swallow that pill and say, you know something? I'm going to give it to you on that. Something about her personality did not want to take the critique. That's what the problem. That's what I really did not like. You can make a mistake, but you should be able to say, you know what? You're on to something. Next time, I will make the correction. Or you know what? I'm going to send a new set of dolls, black dolls, or I'm going to send multiracial dolls, a doll of every ethnicity. I would even have accepted that. Instead of that, she said, you know, gave you the FU basically.
Right. Well, I did read her response, and you are right. If she would have responded like, you know, I made a mistake and I'll either rectify it or next time, maybe it wouldn't have gone on for so long. Because if she would have, you know, nipped it in the bud, yes, I made a mistake, that would have been the end of the controversy. But I think because of her answer she gave, that caused it to go on for longer than it should have. But I don't know. I mean, I personally wouldn't have done it because it's like, you know, I guess I'm aware and there's no reason that I would even buy a white doll because, you know, I'm black and I want to get something black, even if I have to. And a lot of times, you know, because I was thinking maybe an excuse of access, because sometimes for black dolls you have to go over and beyond. But, you know, y'all are right. She had no excuse for implanting those dolls with those babies because who knows, that could be the only doll they ever get in life. And, you know, then they're messed up for life, like you said.
Yeah, you know, something else, too. There's so many women that would have done the same thing. That's another issue. We're making it seem as if she's unique in having given black white dolls. There are many black women from this country that would not have had that, or not just black women, just black person, that would not have had that sophistication. So,
That's why I was giving her a pass because she's not from here. I would hope nobody would do that, not in this day and age, as we've seen those studies done, 80 years ago and now, that we would know better than to do that. But, I don't know.
Listen, some of our women are gluing Caucasian hair strands to their skulls as practice. And they're paying $300 or more to do it. So, or a lot more than that. So, I'm not so sure. I think we are wholesale messed up. I want to keep it alive for a moment, Kim, because I want to go into another topic briefly. This is always giving out information. I want to shout out Sergio Mims on this as well. I believe he covered this at Shadow and Act. I would definitely implore our listenership to check out his blog, his website. His website is definitely going to come up. Courtesy of IndieWire.com, his site's called Shadow and Act, and it is definitely a better. I don't even want to put Media Takeout in the same universe as Shadow and Act. But if it's going to be about entertainment, you should definitely check out Shadow and Act because he deals with the totality of entertainment and cinema specifically. He will talk about black cinema. Internationally, he'll talk about independent films. He'll talk about films of old, vintage films, and legendary actors and actresses. So it's an all-encompassing website, definitely educational, and he's also topical as far as certain issues. So it's a definite, well-rounded black cinema website, black entertainment website, especially when you compare it to Bossip. Far above Bossip, far above Media Takeout, not even in the same universe. Anyway, he brought to my attention this actual crowdfunding film called Danger Word. Danger Word. And actually, Captain, this would have been an excellent piece to highlight on Black Horror Inc. We have a site that we need to really get back into called Black Horror Inc., which is what you think it is. It's about black cinema, but horror—the horror cinema specifically—with an African American and the African American presence in black horror. So anyway, this is an independent horror film that's gaining funds through Indiegogo, that crowdfunding website. And it looks like it's a pretty cool film. Again, Danger Word. But what makes it, again, Captain, what makes it scary? Is that when they would present this movie to the Hollywood elite, to Hollywood execs, they loved the premise of the film. And first of all, I can't believe people say this. Why do I say I can't believe? I'm frustrated. I do believe this happens. When they're presented with the film, or the premise of the film. The tagline of the folks that are promoting this on Indiegogo is: these execs will tell the creators of the film, it's great, it's an excellent film, excellent idea, but doesn't have to have black people in it. That's how they're going out with this stuff now. But it's good, it's great, blah 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 blah. Doesn't have to have black people in it. This is 2013. We're not desired unless we're clowns. They will never say if someone presents a new flavor of love, doesn't have to have black people in it. They will never do it. But a horror film, something a little bit not from the norm, not from the minstrel thing, just straight horror, doesn't have to have black people in it. Captain, what's going on here?
Well, a few things people have to understand. When you're dealing with zombies, the history of zombies, you're dealing with, it comes from West Africa, didn't travel to Haiti. So again, black man, you're not a color, you're the essence that everything comes out from. So via the Voodoo Bokar, look that up. Now, that's just a little backdrop so you can understand zombies. So AMC and all that other Walking Dead, you owe it to the black man. That's where it comes from, way back in West Africa. So anyway, that being said, when you're dealing with Hollywood, they will tell you from the overseas standpoint, and this is correct, even the menstrual stuff does not do really well, that well overseas when you're doing the menstrual stuff. They'll tell you 70 to 75% of their income comes from overseas. And when you have what is quote-unquote a black film, and it doesn't have to be that many black people really be in it to be in it, to be labeled a black film, the proceeds, the amount of money that they make is minimal. It does better with white faces. Now, with the American audience, if you have a legitimate product, and being that it's something menstrual, you will make money here. Hollywood is not so much at this given time groundbreaking. They're more or less cookie cutter. This worked, let's do this. And let's do it again and again and again. As you see with all the superhero movies, everyone's coming more and more and more because it's making money right now. They don't really want to be groundbreaking. They get very scared. I think that's partly due to the numbers that they see and also partly to the mindset of the Hollywood individuals. Remember, imagery is very empowering. It is very important. So you get it from both sides when it comes down to this. So that is definitely a legitimate response. That's definitely a legitimate response. If you're going to do a horror film, yeah, we can have a few black people, but let's make it 80% white. That way it will move here in the United States, but it will definitely be able to make more money overseas. That's their standpoint. That's what they're doing. Though they have their pockets are very deep, but when it comes to doing something quote-unquote black, their arms are short with deep pockets. That's ultimately how Hollywood really works. That's the reality of it at this given juncture in time. Maybe in the future that may change. So these individuals with this crowdfunding, they're doing the right thing. They got to get their money, get the product going. And it looks like the individuals that are involved with this, because as a sidebar, a lot of black films, a lot of times, they do suck. You're just not as good for various reasons. But in this case here, the individuals that are involved with this, it looks like they'll be able to put together a very good product. So this is a bit different. It's a bit different scenario in this case here. So back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I understand the logistics of it. I understand the financials of it. But the reality is that we are going to have to do what we have to do, Captain. We can't always – I mean, you know, if we were to go by that logic, then black folks shouldn't be involved in anything. We should just stop breathing. You know, there's going to have to be – yeah, that's true, but you know, listen, I guess maybe I'm still hopeful. I talk about gloom and doom, but if we are going to survive – and I don't know if we're doing that, but if we're going to survive, we're going to have to start to explore different things. This is why Afro-Nerd exists. This is why I play the music that I play, because we all can't do hip-hop and rap. We've got to have really every foot. And it's why people disturb me when they say, why would a black person be a conservative? Well, because you need to have black folks everywhere. You're not always going to be under a Democratic regime. If there's a Republican regime, it might behoove you to have some black folks there as conservatives. We need to be everywhere. And for someone to say, you know, well, does it need to have black people? I understand where that's coming from. You know, I think it's partial race, partial just finance. But at the end of the day, you got to have a black film. I can't put it any other way. We've got to be about having black things. Some other day it's something else. But it's lunacy. You know, if we went by that logic, we shouldn't have any black things then. And you know we can't have that. I mean, it's just a matter of respect, matter of survival. We just have to stop these folks in their tracks and kind of say somewhat of a disrespectful question, I think. I just think something is up with that. All right.
Well, I have a question. I want to ask. If we are to have our own, should it be controlled by us, or should we take it to Hollywood and BET and all of those different things? Because even as Danger Word is going through and they see that they have to go the independent route to make the film, are they going to go the independent route to distribute the film? Because, you know, even in these instances, we quickly sell out thinking that somebody is going to have our best interest and take our product. It's like, can't we hold on to our own thing as we produce it from beginning to end? Or do we need to, you know, give in to the, like I said, to the BETs and the distribution Lion Kings and that kind of thing?
Well, what
or
you're
King
asking is a
World or whatever. Go ahead.
What you're asking is a real question, because when you think about how things were in the past, and this is when we could talk about the horrors of segregation and Jim Crow, but segregation also forced black folk to do business with each other. The black dollar had to rotate, had to circulate within the community. Now we're hearing that the black dollar, I think it circulates once. All the other communities circulates many, many times. I mean, you know, double digits. Black community, one time. So everyone else seems to be able to create industries for themselves. Because if someone, listen, we heard from the Supreme Court, not only about the Voting Rights Act, but also about affirmative action. We even heard Clarence Thomas speak out on that. And we need to have industries that are self-sustaining, truly. We need to be able to hire ourselves. There should be an infrastructure for black folk in this country. Think about what happened many years ago when Jackie Robinson, God bless him, he is to be applauded, but there was also a dangerous aspect to what happened to him. Although he broke the color barrier in professional sports and professional baseball, that what happened to all those Negro leagues? Those Negro leagues were self-sustaining black baseball teams. They were successful black businesses. And because some of us believe that the white man's water is colder, and I'm not saying that to disparage our listenership, because everyone listens to our show, but that's kind of a adage that goes in our community because of our mindset. No one is better than anyone else. We've got to get away from this self-defeatist, inferior mindset. But the reality is we should have an infrastructure to distribute films, because even then, at some point, we had that. Oscar B. Show, the great filmmaker from the 20s. Pre-Spike Lee. And even Spike Lee had to go to the mainstream studio systems for distributorship. Oscar B. Show was able to do this through when you had black theaters. You're talking about 80 years ago. So there's things that we did correctly during the segregationist period. I'm thinking now you hear, and I hope folks don't listen to this, but ever so often you hear, should we have black colleges? Do we need them? Now, can you imagine if we listen to this? We've already messed up on the baseball teams. Those baseball teams could have been self-sustaining, or maybe they could have been absorbed with black ownership or partial black ownership in the mainstream system. That was never considered. These players were many considered superior to the mainstream players, the white players. They used to have exhibition games where the Negro leagues would wipe the floor with these white players. So why was there any effort to empowered these teams. But we know why that didn't happen. But something made us get rid of them. So now I'm hearing in the modern era, why do you need black colleges for? I hope we don't say, oh, well, maybe you have a point. I don't think so. No one's telling Jewish folks to give up yeshivas. Never going to happen. This is why this show is important, Catholic, because this type of subject matter is not being discussed. We need to have an infrastructure. I don't think we really have a true infrastructure as far as a black economy. It's very tenuous. And I think as far as the kind of money that's being spent in black community, it's in the trillions, isn't it?
Yes.
Yep.
We're the ninth largest how do you say it? Like gross national product, but as far as the wealth, we're like the ninth. If we were a country in ourselves, we'd be the ninth largest country of wealth, just the black community.
So we're talking about roughly 30 to 40 million people, trillions of dollars are being generated and or being taken out of the black community. What would happen if we kept a certain 10% of that money?
Just 10%
of that. If 10% of $1 trillion were to be going back, flow back into the community, where would we be now? See, no one has figured it out yet. We're too busy eating Reverend Sharpton's collard greens. That's what I think's going on. I'm just saying, we're not being real. We're not being real. Listen, wow, Captain. 2 minutes.
Yes.
I got to head over to the gym, try to get the fitness thing going. We will do this again on Saturday, the Double Deal show, folks. We're going to get some more guests also. We got to work up on that, get some folks in, some notables on. This is what we do. We appreciate the support. Kim, as always, continue listening. We like it. If you could pass the word around. We appreciate it as well. Facebook it, whatever, to our listening audience. We appreciate that. And we will be back Saturday, 6 p.m., talking about comic books at 7 p.m. We'll talk about what we're talking about all the time, trying to correct this madness. Going out on a high note, this is New Eurekan Soul. It's all right. I feel it. See you on Saturday. It's been a pleasure.